You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Gentlemen, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC Saturday evening, July the 7th. Now, that's a song by Lou Christie you may not have heard before. Surely everyone in my listening audience knows the greatness of Two Faces Have I and Lightning Strikes, maybe even The Gypsy Cried, some of Lou's bigger hits, but that was Summer Snow. And boy, don't I wish there was such a thing here in the American South. I actually had a dream on the night of July 3rd that we shot fireworks in a blizzard, and we were in our backyard, and it was just a foot of snow on the ground. And, you know, in a dream, things like that don't seem that peculiar to you. And I in the dream, I can remember talking to my wife, and I said, you know, it's never snowed like this on the 4th before. And then, of course, I woke up, and what really happened on the 4th of July was we did do the fireworks just like I dreamed about, but it was just, well, the most awful dog day of summer weather you can imagine, just dripping with sweat. White men were not made for weather like this. But I'm happy to be with you this July evening, this hot, sultry July night. It is always great to be with you here on TPC. And as I said, it is July, and what a summer it's been. Last month was a veritable whirlwind for me. In addition to, of course, the weekly rigors of preparing and hosting TPC, I had a handful of speaking engagements, a couple private, a couple public. Of course, you well know about the Nationalist Solutions Conference in Tennessee, where we did a broadcast from the first week of June. And then last week, I was down in Alabama, League of the South National Conference, had a couple of private gatherings with supporters in Texas and in Georgia. So I've been all around in the month of June. And those opportunities gave me the occasion to be in direct contact with hundreds of loyal listeners to TPC. And I got to tell you, the response that I received from those who interacted with me was beyond heartwarming. I say it all the time, folks, but the connection between this show and its audience is very real and very personal. We have built something special together, and this partnership has seen us through both celebratory and unpleasant times. And the month of June most certainly had its unpleasantness as well. It was, of course, within the last month that my entire church was thrown out of the Southern Baptist Convention because my pastor refused to expel me as a member after a distant leadership found me guilty of imaginary sins. And we covered that on the air in the month of June, too. So in addition to all of that, there were a handful of hate-filled articles that firmly targeted yours truly with the usual barrage of lies and libel, and all of that happened just last month. However, the reason I bring this up is I want you to know, and I want you to be reminded, that I will never become too busy or too distracted to forget to thank you for your loyal support, TPC family. The generosity that you continue to show our work makes the difference in us being able to continue what we do on the air, and it most certainly encouraged me during a time last month when I was taking a battering. So it means more to you, or rather it means more to me than you know, and I want to thank you again for that. We had just a wonderful response the last week to wrap up our second quarter fundraising drive. Once again, you delivered us safely over the mark to keep us well-funded into the fall for the next 3 months. We are secure, and by the way, those who contributed at the appropriate levels will be receiving a gift package from us in the mail this coming week, before our next broadcast. We mailed them all out on Friday. That was yesterday, if you're listening live this evening. And, of course, that book, Celtic Warfare, has been hand-signed by Michael Hill, especially for you. And all of those were shipped out yesterday. So they are en route to you as we speak on the radio this evening. So thank you, thank you, thank you, TPC family, for all you did for me in a very busy month of June, all you did for the work of this show. You want more fireworks, ladies and gentlemen? Well, we're going to deliver that tonight here on TPC. I'm going to be hosting what I call a post 4th of July spectacular, during which the history of our nation's founding is going to be brought into accord with the facts. That's just one of the services we provide here for you on the radio. And we typically do it the Saturday, the last Saturday before the 4th of July. That would have been last week's show. Of course, we couldn't do it last week because we had that fun broadcast from the League of the South Conference. So we pushed our regular 4th of July show to tonight. So that's what we're going to be doing, a spectacular during which the history of our nation's founding is brought into accord with the facts. And in the third hour, we'll shift gears a little bit. But I think we're going to have an informative and enlightening first 2 hours for you and a fun third hour for you as well. So stay tuned for the entire broadcast. And as I say every year, I know it is incredibly difficult to get excited to celebrate anything associated with modern-day America, 4th of July or any day. The country now stands for everything that is ugly and vile. But we did post on our website on Independence Day, the 4th of July, an inspirational video. It is what I think is the most stirring rendition of My Country, 'Tis of Thee that I've ever heard. And it's performed by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And it's an inspirational video. If you listen to it, you can just for a brief moment let your mind slip back into a time when this nation actually attempted to realize her promise. And, of course, in that message, in that post on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, we reminded you that we love y'all. And we wished you and your families a wonderful holiday and a wonderful holiday weekend, as it were, here now. But this leads me to, of course, that time of the year where I always talk about the American flag, the federal flag, as I call it. We talked about it last week with David Duke. David said, you know, James, don't give it such a hard time. A lot of people still believe in it. I get that. And I'm not trying to divide North versus South in this question. We talked about the wonderful support that TPC received in June from its listeners, not just in the South, but all over the country and indeed around the world, and in really in equal parts. I guess the South probably delivered a little more than other sections, but we have listeners in the far West, the West Coast, the Northeast, the Midwest, all over the country, the Southwest. TPC has a very diverse listening audience in terms of the geographical location of our audience, Canada, Australia, all throughout Europe. So this isn't about that, but to me, yes, the Betsy Ross flag, the flag of 1776, the flag that flew over this country all the way up into 1861, I can get behind that flag. That flag's fine. But that flag flew for 85 years. What about the flag that's been flying since 1861 and counting all the way through the current year and counting? That's 157 years that the federal flag has stood for occupation, tyranny, subjugation of the South, every form of degeneracy imaginable. We'll talk about it a little bit more, not much more. We've had this conversation before on the air. I'll talk to you just a little bit more about it when we come back, and then we're going to get into the real meat of tonight's show and this post-4th spectacular, bringing the founding of our history into accord with the facts, the founding history of our nation, and we'll hear what the founding fathers had to say about it. We'll be right back.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. together.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom, and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left, and I was so mad I got out, and he said, "Wait, your mom said to give you this." I forgot my lunch money, and then I dropped it in the water, and I was late for history, and so at lunchtime, I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which, of course, our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom, and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me, and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout. And then he read my history paper while I was in the pool. And of course, I forgot the bibliography. So I had to do that with my mother when I got home. And it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning. And I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew. But my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team. And, you know, I'm just not going to go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, "We're not going to protect that."
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Warm sun, that's not for me. That's right. I'd settle for a little ice age right now. But the good news is June 21st was the summer equinox, so every day after that we get a little bit closer to winter and a little further away from the sun. But boy, it doesn't feel like it right now. It doesn't even feel like it right now at the station where the air conditioner is on and I'm still sweating. But enough about that. Back to the topic at hand tonight. The 4th of July, the original intent of the founders of this nation, how we got from there to here, and much more tonight on TPC. I tried not to. I was really not going to bring it up tonight, even though it always unsettles me on Memorial Day and the 4th when I see so many well-intentioned and otherwise good people flying the federal flag. I see the flag and it embarrasses me. That's the way I feel about it. People would ask, "Well, James, are you proud to be an American?" Hell no. Would I fight for this country? Of course not. I'm proud to be a Southerner. I'm proud to be a Christian. But there's nothing about the institutions, the current institutions. Well, you say the flag doesn't represent those institutions. Those institutions usurp the flag. Well, for 157 years and counting, that flag has represented those institutions. So for 85 years, it represented the things that we all appreciate. I don't know. And I know a lot of people disagree with me on this. My position is we can agree to disagree. I've never been afraid to speak my mind. I'll never be afraid to lead. That's fine. I know a lot of good people who support this show probably don't agree with me on this. I would fight for my family. I would gladly die for my family. I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to fight. I want to work for them. But if I had to lay down my life for my family, I would do that. No questions asked. Do it flat out. But for this corrupt government, for this corrupt media, the corrupt institutions, the corrupt church, the anti-white everything, universities, academia. No. But let's get back to the point. We were never a propositional nation. Let's get that out of the way right now. But rather, we were at our founding, a legitimate nation of Europeans bound by common blood, culture, and faith. Our founders were not immigrants, but rather settlers and conquerors. They didn't immigrate to an established nation. They settled a wilderness. And being a settler means that they got slaughtered by the Indians. And indeed, they did it back. There were some ideas that our founders gave us that are unique to the Western world in many ways, or at least in contemporary times, certainly. So you say, well, when America once was great, prior to 1861, you got to go back a long way. But was it the people or the ideas? Well, it was a little of both. It was mostly the people, but there were some good ideas that those people had. The First Amendment and Second Amendment certainly separates America from a lot of the Western world, even in Europe. I appreciate the fact that we have a First Amendment. You won't go to jail for speaking the truth, but you may lose everything else. That's still better than going to jail, I guess. And we do have a Second Amendment here that other people don't have. I thank you, Founding Fathers, for those two amendments. But let's get back to the Founding Fathers. They never intended, they could have never foreseen what America would have come. This unadulterated freedom that puts us in constant social revolution. Acts of the First Congress of the United States. This was always intended to be a unique nation bound by blood and culture. It was intended to be a nation of Europeans. Passed at the second session, which was begun and held at the city of New York on Monday, the 4th day of January, 1790. George Washington, President John Adams, Vice President. Section 1 of the First Act of the First Congress of the United States. Be it enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America that in Congress assembled, that any alien, being a free white person, who shall have resided within the limits and under the jurisdiction of the United States for the term of 2 years, may be admitted to become a citizen thereof. Only free white people were entitled to become immigrants of the newly settled nation. Now, we've gotten so far away from common sense and reason that now in the current year, Facebook just recently removed a posting of the Declaration of Independence after flagging it as hate speech. But it wasn't the passage that I just read that was flagged. Here's the story. The Vindicator, a news outlet in Liberty, Texas, wanted to help its followers read the entire U.S. Declaration of Independence before the 4th of July, so it posted excerpts on its Facebook page. But something in one of the most significant documents in modern history triggered Facebook's filters. And it was a passage. I don't know if you've ever read the entire Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen, but it's actually pretty long. It's longer than you think, and you probably haven't read it all if you don't know what I'm talking about. But there is one passage in it, Thomas Jefferson writing, of course. Quote, "He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions." So Jefferson writing there refers to the Indians as merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. And so Facebook flagged that as hate speech. That is the Declaration of Independence, ladies and gentlemen, now is hate speech. I'm going to take a quick departure and talk very quickly about the Indians, because this is something that comes up all the time. We took the land from the Indians, blah, blah, blah. Jefferson talks about the conditions that these savages had in their warfare. Now, this is interesting. When you think about slaughter that occurred in Indians versus whites or whites versus Indians after our people began to colonize this continent, what do you think of? You're preconditioned to think of Little Bighorn, right? Little Bighorn was nothing. Do you know how many Indians died at Little Bighorn officially? 31. 31. Up to 160 were wounded. This is supposed to be some big, bad slaughter of Indians. 206, Custer's men lost 268. 55 were wounded, six of whom later died. 268 to 31. Now, they say maybe up to 130 Indians were killed, but 31 were confirmed killed, up to 160 wounded. That's supposed to be some great atrocity that the Americans put on the Indians. But do you know what was actually the greatest slaughter that ever occurred between whites and Indians? It was an Indian slaughter at Fort Mims. It happened in Alabama, down near Mobile. I bet you've never heard of Fort Mims, the massacre of Fort Mims. Well, you haven't heard about it because it was the Indians doing it to man, woman, and child, and even other Indians who were taking shelter in the American fort. Now, this happened on August 30th, 1813, August 30th, 1813, and it was the Creek Indians, and they stormed the fort with a force of between 750 and 1,000 warriors, and they killed everyone in there, man, woman, and child. And that happened repeatedly, ladies and gentlemen. That happened repeatedly. That is why they were known to be savages, and that is why America did what it had to do, and it removed the threat to its people. I'm glad that we once lived in a nation where men protected their families, where men protected their own progeny. And again, talking points for the "we took the land from the Indians" issues, we're always constantly attacked. Now, I gave you that nice compare and contrast, right? But we're always attacked for taking America from the Indians, daring to build a civilization on the land being occupied by hundreds of tribes of quarreling squatters. They were always at war with one another. They were always raping and pillaging and genociding one another, taking as slaves one another. But the best reply to this conversation has to include the fact, and we've read this before, that the Indians conquered each other for territory long before Europeans arrived, and that the latter only did what humans have been doing for millennia all over the world. Reinforce that position by contrasting what the white Christians did with the Indians with what the Indians did to each other when they conquered one another. They exterminated, genocided, enslaved, and raped one another. We gave them casinos and reservations so they could maintain their cultural heritage. We'll be back right after this with more on the founding of our nation. We're going to get back to the point when we return.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we took a quick departure from remembering the founding of our nation to a little aside on the whole Indian question, because it's hard to separate the founding from the conflict that we had with the American Indians. And I was pointing out in the previous segment that the biggest massacre that ever took place between the two belligerents, the whites and the Indians, wasn't a slaughter that we perpetrated. And they point to the Battle of Little Bighorn, where officially 31 Indians died. And I said it was, in fact, the massacre of Fort Mims in Alabama in 1813, where the Creek slaughtered man, woman, and child, and other Indians who were taking shelter inside the fort. And so to wrap up that line of thinking, I was saying, since all the Indian tribes in existence conquered and exterminated some other people, if we are to blame people like our ancestors for conquering others, then the clock shouldn't start when we arrived on these shores, but earlier on. And if that is done, if that is applied, then the racist, genocidal, xenophobic Cherokees got what they deserved. Now, back to the idea that America was a so-called proposition nation and not a legitimate nation of blood and soil. I found this article. I'd like to read a couple of excerpts from it because it's really fantastic. What is a nation? It is not defined by political boundaries, but by its people. The Oxford dictionaries define a nation as a large aggregate of people united by common descent, history, culture, or language inhabiting a particular country or territory. Oxford dictionaries agrees with my assessment. What makes a nation propositional? Here are our standard definition for proposition: something offered for consideration or acceptance, a theorem or problem to be demonstrated or performed. It's hardly encouraging to think of one's nation as something offered for consideration or a theorem or a problem. As a practical matter, the contemporary meaning would be a nation defined by ideology or legal doctrine, rather than by race, ancestry, religion, and culture. A proposition nation, therefore, has none of the elements that traditionally are required for a people to be considered a nation, so the term is a contradiction. What attracts people to the idea of a propositional nation? Its rejection of the true meaning of nation: common blood, common descent, common culture. Whites, but only whites, believe that rejecting these things is enlightened, progressive, and virtuous. That is because they think a national sense of blood and soil leads to Nazism and war. So eliminating traditional nations is the only way to prevent war and atrocities. Again, this flawed thinking applies only to whites. No proposition can hold together a nation with stark racial, ethnic, cultural, or religious differences. Such diverse nations are kept together with constant propaganda, ethnic bribery, coercion, and even force. This is true not just of the United States, but also of Malaysia, Lebanon, and the former Yugoslavia, Sudan, and the Soviet Union. The Declaration and resolves of the First Continental Congress of October 14, 1774 had many references to the colonist rights as Englishmen. Our ancestors who first settled these colonies were, at the time of their immigration from the mother country, entitled to all the rights, liberties, and immunities of free and natural-born subjects within the realm of England. The Declaration of Independence refers several times to our British brethren. Those who want to rewrite American history love to trot out Thomas Jefferson's phrase, "All men are created equal." Now listen to what I'm about to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, because this is key in understanding what that was all about. And you need to know this. Nobody else outside of this network is talking about these truths, but this is very important, and it's very vital, especially on an anniversary like that we just celebrated on the 4th of July, where you're thinking back about the founding. You got to know what these people were thinking. Thomas Jefferson's phrase, "All men are created equal." They love to trot out those five words, all men are created equal, while completely ignoring the purpose of the Declaration. It is a detailed list of 28 grievances that justify separation from Britain. In this context, all men are created equal asserts that the colonists are equal to the British crown. That's what Jefferson was talking about. The colonists are equal to the British crown and have the right to sever ties. Indeed, in his The Declaration of Independence in America, H.L. Mencken writes the famous phrase as, quote, first me and you is as good as anyone else and maybe a damn sight better, end quote. Jefferson and the signers are announcing that they are dealing with the king as equals, not, I repeat, not suggesting that all human beings are biologically equal. Let me repeat that. When Jefferson wrote all men are created equal, he was announcing that the colonists were equal to the king, not suggesting that all human beings are biologically equal. And as has been pointed out, the Declaration itself does not treat American Indians as equal. We just talked about this. He, and again, this is Jefferson, Jefferson writing here in the Declaration, he, meaning the king, of course, has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. And we gave you the example of the massacre at Fort Mims to illustrate Jefferson's point here. Now, to all the founders, the United States was a Hercules in a cradle. Powerful in a traditional sense and also in a special moral sense because its beliefs, which liberated human potential and made possible a transcendent greatness, would capture the imagination and the following of all humanity. But it is absurd to claim that the founders established this country for all humanity. And how do we know that that's true? Because they wrote that the only people who could come here were free whites. That's how we know. We know it because that's what they said. Now, why doesn't everybody else know that? Well, revisionist history, fake news, fake history. We give you the real deal here, unadulterated here on TPC, especially on the 4th of July when we're talking about these issues. Now, clearly, only white nations are ever called propositions. No one would say this about Japan or Pakistan. The United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand are special targets for being called propositions because they were settled by our people, but even continental European countries now talk about their commitments to diversity and to European values that now require open borders for non-Europeans. The proposition in this sense is not universal, but applies only to whites and undermines their claims on their own nations. And we can be sure that once whites are sufficiently reduced in numbers and power, the charade of the proposition will be discarded. The newly dominant groups will engage in their own ethnocentric struggles for power, the proposition be damned, and the remaining whites are likely to live in a state of persecution. Well, you know that's true because even as the majority, we are the most persecuted people in the United States. The most ridiculed, the most mocked, the ones most held in contempt. We are the only people who can be tricked into suicide of this kind. Belief in the proposition is self-inflicted genocide. The proposition nation is a fraud. We must remain dominant in our ancestral lands just the way Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, and John Adams intended. Great men all, heroes all, I look back on their sacrifice in awe. It is an awe-inspiring feat of what's possible. I love the history of the founding of this nation. I don't like what this nation has become since 1861, and I sure don't like what it is now. I mean, my God Almighty, what is it now? It's a mass, it's a landmass full of consumers at odds with one another, discontent with one another. No common ties that bind. Not a faith in God, not a language, not a creed, not a race. Would the founding fathers have even done it? Would they even have risked everything if they could have seen what we would have become. And that wasn't that long ago. That wasn't that long ago. A little over 200 years. It wasn't that long ago. And we gave it all back and then some, didn't we? Well, not we. I didn't give back anything. It was taken from me kicking and screaming. But certainly our people did, as a whole. When we come back, we're going to play a clip by Jared Taylor, and it's going to wrap up our coverage this hour on the Are All Men Created Equal topic. And then in the next hour, we're going to talk a little more about the history of the founding of our nation. The best we can do in our slot here in commercial talk radio, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do the best we can with the time we've got, as we do every week. But in the next segment, Jared Taylor of American Renaissance, I found a nice video. It's always nice of Jared to make these videos for us, because then it saves me from the challenge of having to pick up the phone and call him. But Jared is going to explain how every equal rights movement from abolition to homosexual marriage has hijacked Thomas Jefferson's words from the Declaration of Independence. And he's going to tell us about it when we return. Stay tuned, everybody.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, once a year we like to go back, especially on the 4th of July. Well, really exclusively on the 4th of July. We look back at the founding of this nation and what the founding fathers thought. These were great men. These were heroes of mine. I have my own thoughts on the what the the flag represents in this day and age. But I would never sully the memory of our founders. And that includes Jefferson and all the rest. Well, Jefferson is the one we're focusing on right now because he wrote the Declaration of Independence and those misused words, all men are created equal. Jared Taylor, a man so dear a friend, when I go to Washington, he just leaves the key under the mat, even if he's not home. And I can go in there and crash out. And we did that when we were at the inauguration, and we met up with Sam Bushman and just had a wonderful time there at the inauguration back in January of last year. But anyway, Jared is going to explain to you now how every so-called equal rights movement from abolition to the homosexual marriage, so-called marriage, has hijacked Jefferson's words from the Declaration of Independence. And he shows that the phrase was meant to justify independence from England, not to give women the vote or promote mass immigration. And he notes that federal judges, Ho Chi Minh, and even Chinese college students borrowed Jefferson's words to promote ideas that Jefferson would have thought to be preposterous. Let's listen to it now.
Hello, I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. All men are created equal. These five words are the most abused, misinterpreted, and dangerous words in American history. They've been used to justify every egalitarian fantasy and every so-called equal rights movement since the country began. They are, of course, Thomas Jefferson's words from the Declaration of Independence. Jefferson has been claimed as an inspiration by abolitionists, suffragettes, gay rights activists, open borders fanatics, and now people who say we don't have the right to keep out Muslims. This is all crazy, of course. Jefferson didn't mean any of this. But President Barack Obama was just keeping up with the times when he tweeted a quotation from the gay activist Harvey Milk. All men are created equal. No matter how hard they try, they can never erase those words. That is what America is about. A lot of people agree. The distinguished historian Joseph J. Ellis called these five words, quote, the most potent and consequential words in American history. Well, what did Jefferson really mean? Well, first of all, in 1776, the only people who could vote were free white men who owned property. Jefferson never wanted to give the vote to women or blacks or Indians or poor people. And of course, from the age of 21, Jefferson owned slaves. He had about 200 when he wrote the Declaration. He thought slavery was an evil thing, but he also thought that free blacks in a white society was even worse. He wanted the slaves freed and sent back to Africa, or any place where whites and blacks would be, in his words, beyond the reach of mixture. He didn't think blacks were very intelligent either. As he put it, quote, their existence appears to participate more of sensation than reflection. And let's not forget the purpose of the Declaration of Independence. It was to explain why the American colonies have the right to be free from Britain. It lists a bunch of grievances against the king that justify revolution. One of those grievances is that the king had encouraged attacks on settlers by, as Jefferson put it, merciless Indian savages. I don't think Jefferson thought savages were his equals. The five famous words appear near the beginning of the Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, was it self-evident in 1776 that women and blacks and homosexuals and American Indians were all equal, or ever would be? Of course not. Not one of the signers of the Declaration thought those things or ever dreamed anyone would ever think such things. This sentence is setting the stage for a bunch of untitled commoners to tell King George III and all of his dukes and earls that the colonists aren't going to take orders from them anymore, that Americans were the equals of their rulers. The great essayist H.L. Mencken translated the Declaration into plain English. When he got to the created equal part, he put it this way. First, me and you is as good as anybody else, and maybe a damn sight better. In other words, Jefferson is saying, we are men like you, and we have the right to tell you to buzz off. In 1825, 49 years after he wrote the Declaration, Jefferson himself made it clear that all the Declaration did was explain why the colonists had the right to rebel against England. Its purpose was, as he explained, not to find out new principles or new arguments never before thought of, but to place before mankind the common sense of the subject. No new principles, just a common sense explanation for why Americans were fighting the Redcoats. And for decades, that's the way most people understood the Declaration. There was nothing holy about it. It did its job, and the United States became independent. It was much later, when the obsession with equality went into high gear, that people went back to the Declaration and decided to twist Jefferson's words into something insanely different from what he meant. Those five words are the only ones in the whole Declaration anyone cares about today, and that is only because they deliberately ignore what the words originally meant. And don't forget, when the founders decided to write a constitution, that is to say, when they made the rules for actually running the country, they didn't put in any fluff about people being equal. Oh, no. We have an electoral college to keep the rabble from running wild. We had indirect election of senators to keep the rabble from running wild. And it took amendments to the Constitution to give freedom to slaves and to give women the vote. But those words of Jefferson's have become a Frankenstein monster. In February 2014, U.S. District Judge Arenda Wright Allen issued a ruling declaring that the state of Virginia's ban on gay marriage was unconstitutional. Her reasoning, and I quote, "Our Constitution declares that all men are created equal." No, it doesn't. Now, here's a photograph of Judge Wright Allen. And before you draw unkind conclusions about her, both the New York Times and NBC passed along her astonishing error without correcting it. They couldn't tell the Constitution from the Declaration either. Well, the Frankenstein monster really gets around. In 1945, Ho Chi Minh issued a proclamation of independence from France in which he cribbed all men are created equal straight out of the Declaration. But not even the commies put those words into their constitution. Lately, I heard from an American who teaches English at a Chinese university out in the provinces. He talks to his students about race differences in IQ, but many of them say, "No, that can't be right. All men are created equal." They don't even know where the words come from, but even Chinese out in the sticks parrot this nonsense. And one more thing. Liberals think the created equal phrase in the Declaration is somehow proof of racial equality. Well, do they also think that it's proof of creationism? It says all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator, capital C, with inalienable rights. Well, try using the Declaration to prove that evolution is wrong. You'd be laughed out of town, just as we ought to laugh out of town every goofball who claims the Declaration proves everyone is equal to everyone else. It's a form of insanity, and I think that's exactly how Jefferson would have seen it. Thanks very much for watching. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and visit our website at amren.com.
I've got to text Jared and thank him for making that video. I think we may have posted that to our website last year. I know we posted it again this year, but you can't make it any clearer than that. And I think any discussion about the Fourth has to include a little bit of truth and common sense. And again, that's just one of the services we provide here at TPC. And so these are the things that are on my mind every 4th of July, that and the miserable heat. But it's astonishing that nowhere else in the mainstream media will you find a program that will speak the truth anymore, except for on this radio network. Well, I guess that's why we stand out. I guess that's why we've made so much news. And by the way, speaking of news, I got to tell you something. coming up in the third hour. Now, we're going to stay on this for another hour. We're going to have a part one and a part two. Part two is coming up next. And we're calling this our post-4th of July spectacular, during which the history of our nation's founding is being brought into accord with the facts. But in the third hour tonight, the Bombardier is back. Eddie is back in the saddle after a scary accident nearly sent him to his eternal reward. And Eddie already got a good warm-up earlier today on the Saturday edition of the Liberty Roundtable show, hosted by my good friend and yours, Sam Bushman. You can check that out at libertyroundtable.com. Well, Eddie is going to be on in the third hour to update our beloved audience on his condition and to discuss the recent Washington Post article that referred to TPC as a populist conservative radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, blow me down with a feather. You could. I guarantee you, whoever wrote that, their head is rolling down K Street right now. We'll tell you about it in the third hour tonight. Just goes to show there's still a lot more to come. And, well, CNN used to refer to me as a conservative, but that was in 07. This is something that was published last week. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.